Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And we are brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Friday, February 23rd, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville.
Happy Friday, everybody.
And Jason Bishop's
here. Happy Friday, boys.
It's a payday Friday, too.
It is, yes, that's correct. Yep. And now because of the wacky pay system, and we had 1 week where we got a half a paycheck, now my paycheck is on the same sked as my wife's paycheck.
Ooh.
So they're both hitting on the same day.
Nice.
It's a little bit silly.
It's pretty good.
Nice bonanza.
It's a pretty good thing.
Got a lot to cover on the show today. Kevin's going to join us at 7. We'll talk movies with him. John Feinstein for Fridays with Feinstein. He joins us at 8. And Dan O'Dowd, MLB Network analyst, former GM of the Rockies, is going to join us later in the program.
You know what today is?
Today. Spring training game start.
First spring training games.
You gonna watch the Nationals game?
Probably not. I don't know.
Spring training games are poop to begin with, but especially the first few.
Yeah.
Right?
But I can't believe we're here already.
I know. It's shocking.
Spring training schedule has already started.
Yeah, but what happened to that 80-degree weather? Went away.
Well, it's still...
It's going to be 70 on Sunday.
It's still really? Winter. Yeah. We're still in the... not in the middle of winter, but it's still technically winter.
Hey, at least it's not 8 degrees like it was 3 weeks ago.
Should I go downstairs and turn the pipes off or whatever? Because remember how I washed the car?
You're fine. You're good.
Am I over the hump on that?
Yeah, I think you're fine.
You don't think they're going to explode because I open them up too early?
I think you only worry about that when it dips like into the 20s or the teens.
Well, that could happen.
I never even winterized this year.
You didn't even bother?
I didn't.
I just think you have to do it. I don't know why.
At least I'm pretty sure I didn't.
Yeah, maybe your wife did.
So you did winterize. You winterized.
I don't know what you mean by winterize. I turned the pipes off. That's what you mean.
Yeah. Like you drain the pipes, take the hoses off, turn the water off.
Correct.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
I mean, I only have one that I really worry
Big
about.
Big pain in the ass.
No, but I have to tell you, I turned on the air conditioning the other day because...
You
upstairs,
yeah.
I'm in a four-level townhome, and upstairs it was 77 degrees.
Too hot.
I
Way
can't
too
sleep
hot.
In 77
77
degrees.
Is great if you're outside, but
right.
Inside a dwelling, no. Too hot.
And I'm not an open all the windows guy and wait hours
either.
For it to cool down.
So
I just said, it's on heat. And I get it. It was on heat because it was cold just a few days prior.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put it on AC. So I put it to 70.
Perfect.
And I will tell you, woke up kind of cold.
Yeah, of course. You can't find that happy medium. Somebody's either cold, somebody's hot.
We can usually get away with just a fan. We have one of those big ceiling fans right over the, over the bed. That'll usually be enough to kind of cool you down a little bit.
Yeah, I've got a chandelier, not a bed. I mean, not a
fan.
A fan.
Yeah.
Got the bed.
Right. Yeah, hold on. You have a chandelier over your bed?
Yes.
You probably one trip to Home Depot and call Crop Metcalf, get that installed.
Yeah.
Cost you $100 probably.
For a ceiling fan?
If you wanted one.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Have to take out the chandelier if you want it, in the center of the room.
Yeah, we get one with lights and a fan.
Yeah.
That's what most of them have.
Our bedroom's done kind of fancy with the decorator and stuff like that.
Yeah, but if you have a chandelier in your bedroom, that sounds kind of fancy. I usually thought chandeliers are like the domain of a dining room.
Well, there
room
are different
or...
classifications of chandeliers.
Yeah, it's not
one that you're going to see at the White House.
Right.
Our bedroom is hysterical. My wife and I are just not, we're not design. I mean, we did have someone help design like painting and bought furniture for us, but not the bedroom, not really. The bedroom, I basically have an old dresser. I got a nice bed.
And
that's
and
about
a
it.
TV.
And a TV. And that's
well,
about
of course
TV.
You
I didn't
have
even
TV.
Mount it on the wall. I just put it on the old dresser.
Yeah, that's kind of like me.
I mean, it's,
TV is the centerpiece of your bedroom. It's the most important thing. Outside of the bed, it's the most important thing in your bedroom.
I bet you my bedroom looks like it's better than AWOD's, but it's not that. It's nothing fancy. It's
our
the
bedroom's kind of fancy with the crown molding and the wallpaper that's.
Yeah, I got crown
wall.
Molding, but, that's
the only
about
thing is the dresser,
I actually bought from the staging when the house was being shown. There were two pieces of furniture that it fit perfect. And I was like, well, why would I buy something new when this thing fits perfectly in that corner?
It's already there.
All the way right up to the closet door.
Perfect.
It's perfectly sized. It perfectly matches everything.
Maybe you got a discount on it, too. Did you get a discount?
Absolutely got a discount. What I found was when they stage homes and then they move the furniture out, they often send it to a central location, which then sells it. And they sell it for like 60%.
Yeah.
So I bought it for like 50%.
Nice.
Because they didn't have to move it.
Good deal. Right.
Yeah, it is a good deal. Well, you know, whatever I told you, whenever you watch the show with Chip and Joanna, Fixer Upper, and they say, are you ready to see a Fixer Upper? And they pull the cart back, and you see the silly house that they redid.
Mm-hmm.
It looks silly, but it's all stage stuff.
Yeah,
when the guys put their hoops in there, it looks like poop, I'm sure.
Right.
You know, like if Valdez moved in, it would look nothing like.
Well, until it's me.
You have the option to buy some of it.
Yeah, but it probably costs you $50,000.
It's probably very expensive.
You know, to buy all this
stuff.
Yeah,
it's all reclaimed wood.
Looks silly.
They always look amazing.
Do they at least let them keep the TVs that they mount on the wall?
I doubt
it. Well, on Fixer Upper, they don't do TVs. That's what tilts me. They never have a TV over the fireplace. It's always family portraits and stuff
like
that.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
All right.
Next time you watch that, see if you see a TV in Fixer Upper.
Yeah.
Zero TVs. Tilting.
My wife won't let me put a TV over the fireplace. That's like the one thing that she's like, the one war she's won.
I just get size for Joanna's tushy. Like it.
I don't think she has an extraordinary person by any stretch.
Very thin and small.
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
That's what you like. You like
still
nice thin
has
and small.
A little testosterone.
What, for having
him.
Four kids, she looks what?
Yeah, she looks really good. She's great. In fact, did they announce that she was pregnant again?
I thought she had more than four.
I think she might.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
She's pregnant with the fifth.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Chip likes to get in there.
Yeah.
Chip does. Can you blame him?
Yeah.
Chip definitely overachieved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No wonder he's trying to pump out as many kids as possible.
He makes her laugh. That's how he got her.
Yeah,
he makes her laugh.
Exactly.
I've seen the ex-wife. Is it Tariq? Is that the guy's name? El Moussa? Is that their name?
Yeah.
I've seen his wife.
Tariq
before.
El Bashir.
Yeah. His ex-wife,
Christina.
Yeah.
I saw Tariq El Bashir last night.
I haven't seen her in probably a couple of years. I think the last time I saw her, she was at a Caps game in Anaheim because she was banging one of the Ducks.
Yeah. No. She got a new boyfriend now.
Okay.
She has a new one every 3 weeks.
It's the last time I've seen her.
I think he's like, is he like a UK reality show contestant or something? I think it's something weird like that.
Can't keep up.
You're the EP guy. You would know that.
Yeah.
How about the Wizards last night?
Big one.
Impressive.
How about the Wizards last night?
Color me impressed.
Can you tell me what's going on with the Wiz?
Why are they so successful now?
And they had 29 assists last night.
I was figuring eventually that the tide was going to turn. Look at these 10 games without John Wall, they've beaten Oklahoma City. They've beaten the Toronto Raptors. They now have beaten
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And they should have beaten Boston.
Yep.
That Boston game, they fouled Kyrie up three, gave him three free throws. He tied it, and he took over in overtime. But they could easily be 9-1. In this stretch without John Wall.
Cakes,
and there were some people
impressive.
At the station talking about tanking.
It's very impressive.
The tanking folks are losers. You just don't tank.
And another solid game from Sato. I mean, I never expected him to develop into the player that he's become at this point.
It's not a solid game. You know what he is? He's the Alex Smith of basketball. He doesn't commit turnovers.
I like it.
Right. You know,
he may not
it.
Be as spectacular offensively. But he doesn't turn the ball
over.
You know,
called it AWOD. AWOD's been hyping up
he
Sato.
He has. He's been on the Sato train long
even before
the rest of us.
Yeah, is it practicing?
We don't give him credit for much, but we should give him credit for that.
He was on the Satoransky bandwagon.
He
give you credit
over
there,
stupid.
He just likes
seeing a white guy dunk.
Yeah.
Kelly Eyebrow.
Yes.
Another silly game.
Shaq
Everybody botches his name.
I'm convinced.
Oubre, I know.
That Shaq is dyslexic.
Maybe he is.
Because he called him Ebro.
Right.
You know?
Marv Albert can't get it right. Shaq can't get it right.
Yeah, it's weird.
They call him Ebrow or Ebro?
I just threw eyebrow out
no,
there.
No, he called him, the one time I called him Ebro.
Oh, okay.
He called him Kelly Ebro.
Is he just kind of, is he making
no,
kind of fun
think,
of the game?
I just
name,
don't
or?
Think he pays that much attention.
Yeah.
And he knows that kid's pretty good and he doesn't know how to pronounce the name.
Yeah, and Marv just botches like the inflection. He calls him Oubre instead of Oubre. Like,
right.
It's very minor.
How about the bench last night? The bench, 45 points and 18 boards.
They do this every couple of games.
They do.
I mean,
Oubre's been consistent off the bench, and Mike Scott has been pretty consistent off the bench. Jody Meeks, you don't get often production from him. You don't often get production from Mahimi, but you got production from all those guys last night. That's a big win. It also tells me that all the people, including myself, that were buying the Cavs for being so much better with two games of the new cast, maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, there's still, 20-plus games left, so let's see how they finish out. But that's impressive. That little run that they're on is really impressive.
That's a road win.
I certainly didn't expect it.
Now, they have a really tough schedule. I believe it's the third toughest schedule in the NBA remaining and the toughest in the Eastern Conference. They have a home game against Charlotte tonight, but then they have all playoff teams, really. They're playing Philly, Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. They have Golden State next week.
Yep.
So it's
and
going
Toronto
to be tough
after that.
The thing about it is, when you look at the Eastern Conference,
Golden State here, correct?
A team which is in fourth place, which they are right now, they're in fourth place in the Eastern Conference.
The Warriors aren't going to go see Trump. They're going to hang out.
Well, they're not half that. Game.
In fact, there's going to be a billion Warriors fans in the building. That's the tilting
part. What? The Wizards keep beating good teams. Maybe there'll be more of them.
They're a half game out of the third spot, but they're not that far out of the eighth spot either.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose a couple in a row, you can slide right down to sixth or seventh in the Eastern Conference.
It's actually getting to the point where when they add John, even though he's the best player on their team, it is going to disturb things for a little bit. There's going to be an adjustment period.
Well,
I don't expect them to continue. Yeah. It's going to be an adjustment. They play different.
Yeah, they play totally different. Like last night, I did Wizards Overtime, and they were showing the highlights again and watched the game live, but then watched it again, and almost every one of the highlights, at least three guys, often four guys, touch the ball in possession.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get the 29 assists from. And they were a good assist team with John
Wall. Extra passes, you can see.
But guys aren't standing around as much as they did.
Yeah, but how do you feel about this team right now? I mean, do you feel like...
I think it's a little bit of a fraud, to be honest with you. Yeah, I do.
But you're right. There's going to be a lot of pressure on John when he comes back.
Yeah. And there's going
to
be...
continue to win.
There's going to be an adjustment.
Let's just say John comes back and they lose 3 out of 4. And then what's the talk going to be?
Well, they're not as good as they were without him. Of course,
he might not come back till the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, whatever, whenever they play. So there's just a lot of pressure on him to perform and to keep this winning streak alive. So
you keep saying
it's going to be interesting.
And I keep thinking that they're kind of a fraud. We did an over-under last night. They had 25 games left, and the over-under was 12.5, and I took the under. Like, they're going to lose more games than they win because I just think eventually you're playing without John Wall. He's your best player.
I don't even think it really matters of the regular season.
But I do think they can compete with anybody. They've shown that. They can compete with all of the heavyweights. They've beaten Toronto. They've beaten Boston.
I'm not convinced that they can beat these teams on a 7-game series.
But they could also lose. I think they could get bounced out in the first round, but I also think they could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'd have to see it to believe it at this point. Especially when they add John in, it's just going to be a learning curve.
But I look at it this way,
starting over almost.
This is a simple analysis. Last year, they made it to the second round to Game 7 against Boston. This team's better. Their bench is far better.
Yeah, they'd have to work out. If they played Boston, I actually think that they could handle Boston. I said that at the time.
And Toronto.
Yeah, I suppose.
A couple years ago, they swept Toronto.
I just don't see them being consistent enough to get there.
It's a deeper team, but last year, Porter, Wall, and Beal were all having really good years.
Beal's better.
Yeah, maybe he is.
Beal's better. He had 9 assists.
He should be better.
When do you ever expect Bradley Beal to have 9 assists?
Well, when John Wall's out. His assist numbers have spiked, and his usage rate is up huge with Wall sidelined. So, yeah, of course, his all-around numbers should go up.
By the way, our Bulls sweat, we got so hooked last night. We're still going to lose.
Right.
But the Bulls were up 5 with a minute to play.
I know. I was tracking
What's
it.
What's the number?
Two more wins, we're done.
One
you
more win, it's
day.
A push.
No, it's one
you
more win. It's a half in there, so it's a 21
it's 21
and a
half. Huff job.
Right now they have 20 wins.
All right, so we can afford one more win.
Yes. But last night they're up 5 with a minute to play. They're up 3 with 10 seconds to play.
Right.
All right, they fouled Redick. Redick hits 2 free throws. They're up 1 with 8 seconds to play. Denzel Valentine, I guess there's a timeout call. Denzel Valentine throws an inbound pass that gets stolen by Ben Simmons, I think. He fouls Ben Simmons.
Right.
Ben Simmons goes up, knocks down 2 free throws, they lose by 1.
I love it.
Can we have that happen every time the Bulls play?
I'm a big fan of that.
Did you see the Bulls missed about 3 shots within 2 feet of the basket, too, on the inbounds play?
Yeah.
They had a shot to win.
But their young players are playing
much better than
you
expected.
You mean after Simmons had hit the free throws?
After they hit the free throws.
Portis had 40.
I know. He erupted. That's the wackiest tank job I've ever seen last night.
Well, I guess so. But they weren't trying to tank early. Oh, they had 16 threes.
I understand. They're not really trying to tank. Yeah. They're just throwing young guys out there to give them some more experience. But they don't mind losing games at this point because they're terrible.
I'm just trying to just trying to hold on to my 50
bucks.
Yeah,
it's a good loser.
But anyway, we'll see how the Wizards respond tonight against Charlotte.
I think it's tomorrow.
Pretty sure it's tonight.
I think it's Friday. I could be wrong.
What's today? 23rd.
Oh, today's 24th. Friday. I'm spacing.
It's tonight, Ricky.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know what? The Wiz owe the Hornets.
They do.
Because the last time they went to Charlotte, they got blown out of the building.
Dwight Howard has owned them. He had 24 rebounds last night, by the way.
Oh, I know. He's a monster.
He'll probably, 24 boards.
The over-under on his boards tonight against the Wiz is 15. And I would tend
I would tend to go over.
I'd
go over that.
He just has big games against the Wiz.
All right, I got to talk to you about 5-Hour Energy. You think I felt like doing the podcast, Big Fat Winners, last night at 5 o'clock at Bonefish in Ashburn?
Got a picture of it.
I was tired.
It's all over Twitter.
Sluggish. I know the Twitter monsters are out there.
I know they are.
Needed a boost. I didn't want any coffee. I'm not a coffee guy. Energy drinks tend to be a little sugary for me, so I took a shot of the Berry 5-Hour Energy, and I was ready to record the show with Skip. 5-Hour Energy brought a huge box of all kinds of flavors here to the station yesterday, and the donks were circling it like vultures. They need an extra shot of energy as well. Right now, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops tournament. You have the ability to swap your loser selections in the brackets during the tournament as the game is going on, up to 4 minutes left in the game. You see an upset in the making, swap the favorite out to ensure your bracket is 100% correct. Go to wjfk.rtbrackets.com. That's wjfk.rtbrackets.com to sign up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You can follow me on Twitter at Money Metal Cakes. If you were following me last night, you would have seen that the betting on the massive favorite streak came to a crashing halt for me.
Hold on
last
a second.
Night.
Hold the phone.
It's over, Johnny. It's done.
You didn't talk to me before.
I did not. I made a last second rash decision.
Okay. Hold on.
I was down to two teams in the college game.
I know who you did. Was it a home team?
It was a home team, yes. A heavy favorite home team that lost outright.
You're so dumb. Why didn't you talk to me?
Here's why. Because I was at home, and I pulled off the site.
Bored.
And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to roll the bones. I was thinking, I'm going to play College of Charleston against Elon. They were a heavy favorite.
College of Charleston.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No. I think they won, but I could be wrong. I think College of Charleston won. I decided to roll the bones on Oakland at home against Wisconsin Green Bay. I think they were a 10.5 point favorite.
They were a pretty big favorite, yeah.
So I rolled 377 on it to win, like, I don't know. I think the screenshot's up right now. On
$25 or something?
No, it was more than that. It was like 50. Mm. 45 or 50. And the problem was they were leading like 5 or 6.5 by 10 at one point in the second half. I was feeling pretty good. And then I was checking the box score because
the other way.
How could you watch that game unless you like live in Michigan?
Blew it.
I mean, how could you watch that game? I was talking with Pedro on Twitter, and this is when my eyebrows were raised when he said Oakland is hanging in there despite key injuries to some of their star players. And I said, "Ruh-roh, might be in trouble."
You just got
how much did you lose?
377.
I lost the whole thing. 377.
I bet it all.
How'd you do at MGM?
I mean, I
did you take it on the chin there too?
Well, technically, I walked out a winner because I got my first monthly poker chip comp.
Okay,
but if it weren't for that, I was down 200.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was
you lost about $600 yesterday.
Yeah, it was not a good sports betting / game of skilling day. Yes.
Well, he was playing Russian roulette with his account. He decided he was on a suicide mission. Actually, I don't know why he just got into a mode where he just decided he wanted to felt himself.
I actually thought it would be a fun ride. It probably was a fun ride
for a week.
Before I placed the bet,
he was on a suicide mission.
I said to myself, maybe I should take out 200 or 250 and just put it in my bank and then just restart. But I didn't. I got greedy.
Yeah.
Just like I got greedy at MGM National Harbor. Got greedy.
Well, what I advocated is not even take it out. Just save 100 in there. So bet 277. If you want to go the crazy route.
I know. I
tried to say it all week.
It's just
bet it all.
Not going to pay off because he's betting 377 to win what?
56, I think?
$50.
You know, it adds up the four or five times
he was going to eventually lose.
I knew it was going
to be a suicide mission.
It was going to go to zero.
And I probably would have, you know, because I told you to bet home teams.
Yeah.
Because road teams, it's so dicey.
I bet a home team.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
So I probably would have looked at College of Charleston or Oakland. I'm not sure if I would have leaned Oakland or not.
Yeah.
Problem with Oakland is they score a bunch of points, but their defense is poo.
Here's the problem. The problem is, I was like Lindsey Vonn doing whatever event that she did with zero prep.
The slalom.
I just look at the slate.
I know.
And I know, I'm sure I know anything about Oakland.
Yeah, they score a bunch.
I played Oakland versus Green Bay, and it wasn't a football game. It was a basketball game.
I get it.
How dumb is that?
What I'm saying to you is if you would have done a little research, you realize that Oakland allows like 80 a game.
Yeah.
So they get into shootouts all the time.
He didn't do any research.
He did no research.
He just looked at the line.
It was almost as dumb as when I was at MGM National Harbor earlier in the day, and I was sitting two seats away from a maniac at my table. He's in every hand, raising every hand. And I said to myself, well, when I get the opportunity, I'm going to get into a confrontation with this guy, and hopefully I'm going to have the better end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he pre-flop raises to $20 like he's doing all day on the button. So comes around to me. I have pocket queens. I said, well, I'm going to find out where I'm at right now. Made it 100.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else folds. Goes around to him. He's just sitting there. He's not doing anything for like a minute.
Right.
So then, of course, I get cocky.
Was your heart going like this?
I get cocky. Which I usually don't do at the poker table.
You talked smack, didn't you?
I get cocky, and I looked at him, and I said, I gave him the speech. I said, hey, man, it's okay. You got caught button stealing. It's fine. It happens. Just throw your $20.
Talking smack.
Paul started talking smack. I was like, just, you know, it's $20. You know, let's fold. We'll just move on.
Yeah.
He sits there for 20 and 30 seconds more like a statue.
Doesn't say anything.
Not really saying anything. Then he ships all of his chips in. And I said, well, I have the best hand because you got air. You're raising with nothing all day. What does he flip over? Aces.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah. So all my profit that I had, right over to the other side.
But you know that they often don't go back over the top with you with air. That's a rare move. It takes big balls.
Look, I understand it was probably a rash decision by me to re-raise.
You didn't think that through because he's not going to go back over the top.
I just thought he has Jack 9 suited or he's got Ace King.
Until he went all in. That's the big tell. He's probably got something because most guys don't have those big balls.
Well, he had something and I had nothing. And I had no help.
But why did he slow play you?
He didn't really slow play. I think there was a little bit of a language barrier.
Oh, okay.
But it's fine.
Well, he should have instantly called
there
you.
There wasn't language
barrier. He should have instantly put you all in with the aces.
Well, he just sat there like a statue and just waited and then shipped his chips in.
Yeah, I don't know perfectly. I
couldn't wait to do the same. And then I got felt in.
So what did you drop on that? 200?
On that hand?
Yeah.
400.
Oh,
400. My entire stack.
bad day for
KXSF. No, not my entire. All of my profit from prior,
right.
Like the last hour.
Yeah,
Cakes, all gone.
Cakes
in an instant.
Doubled up in, like within the hour. I don't know why you just.
He did. Cakes tweeted a picture of his chip stack, and it was a nub stack. Cakes doesn't know how to. He doesn't know how to stack his chips. It looks all hurting.
I don't have to stack my chips perfectly.
Yeah, but they were just all like your stacks were like wobbly. They weren't like in a straight, nice, tight line.
There's a method to that because you. If you have your chips stacked like perfectly,
right,
like,
tight,
you're trying to show that you're loose.
Just I don't want it. I don't want somebody to look at my chip stack and say, "Well, that guy has his chip stacked perfectly.
He knows
plays
where he's
tight,
going.
Plays snug. Will never raise." You know,
It doesn't mean that you're necessarily playing tight. It just means that you're used to getting chips.
Cakes believes there's a science to it.
There's a little bit. I understand what he's saying. There's a strategy to it. There's a little bit of that. Because you could read people, a lot of times, you'd be in Vegas or somewhere or MGM. They come out of a bar or something. They're hammered, and they're sloppy with their chips. And they're, that, you know, they're a very loose player. They're just there to gamble. They're a fun player.
Right.
You could
tell. Waiting to donk their chips off.
So I understand
off.
What Cakes is saying. He's trying to give off the image that he's not there all the time, so he's a little sloppy with his chip stack. But his chip stack just looked nubs. It was less, it was all uneven.
Well, trust me. It looked, much,
just, I didn't like it
looked much more nubs after losing that massive
yeah, it was 400 chips less.
It was just
yeah.
paltry.
That yeah. reminds me of a week when I was in Atlantis probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It was probably 2000. You know, I'm call it 2013.
Yeah.
All right. I'm playing at the $100 blackjack table.
100 men?
Yeah.
I oh, had, my God.
I had cocktails all day.
Sky
at the
high
pool.
Limits.
I'm
okay.
just like, F it, we're going for it. I, right. think, it was my, I think it might have been my last night
Man,
there.
You're
or
going
my second
big.
To the last night there, right? So I started at the $50 table, did okay. well. So I had, I brought probably $5,000 with me, and I was probably up to about $9,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I went to the $100 table.
You were on a suicide mission.
$5,000?
I said, let's go. Let's just do it. Let's try and win $25,000 or $30,000.
Right.
All right. It was me and Tom Mooney and another guy from Milwaukee.
Okay. Right, some guy
three
you met.
Guys.
Right. Some donkey met.
So some guy.
Jason Terry.
He was there at the table when Tom and I stepped up.
Amazing kid.
All right. This is 100% true story.
Yeah.
So we start playing a little bit. We caught so many hot shoes.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Right.
Okay. I was betting, and I never bet this much. I was betting $300, $400, $500 a hand and hitting everything. Blackjacks,
wow.
double down, everything.
Right.
All right. I had a stack of black chips. I swear to God, I could barely see over it.
Looked like Paul Pierce's stack one time.
Seriously,
I saw him.
It was
oh,
like,
you saw him at the Palms. He had a silly stack.
And the way I do it at the blackjack table, I don't keep double stacks. I like to stack one tower.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shows show a force.
Right.
I kind of like to do that too. A big dong. Right. Make a big dong stack.
I just do one tower.
Sometimes I do that.
I mean, I'll put some like measly $5 chips for
looks
tip
like you're stroking your stack. It's,
right.
it's hilarious.
So I like to keep one big tower and I stroke to make sure it's all even
you're
and
so
light.
Bitter
keep
if
it nice
falls
and tight.
Over, though.
Right.
It's
yeah.
the worst.
No, I knocked it over.
Yeah, I'm sure you
I
did.
Knocked it all over the table.
You were hammered.
Right.
Well, when he lost.
But it got to the point where I was winning so much. Tom was winning so much.
Yeah.
I swear to God, my stack of black chips was up to here.
And the
what
blacks
do you think? What do you estimate at your peak? What do you estimate you had?
I probably had $15,000 in front of me.
Yeah, right.
Had to have.
Right.
It was just too much. The guy from Milwaukee said, I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to watch you win.
Right.
He bailed out. He goes, I'm just going to watch this.
Yeah.
Right. He couldn't believe it.
Right.
I was
Did
so
it ever
cocky.
Occur to you to leave with your big, silly winnings?
I don't know. I looked at Tom and I said, what do we want to do? He goes, dude, let's just roll it. I mean, I can't remember what
that's
the time
doesn't care.
I don't remember what the conversation
Mooney
was.
Mooney be clutch.
Right.
So I was going to make it $50,000.
I mean, it was this high.
So what happened?
By the time, I'm going to tell you, dummy. So by the time I left that table, I had nothing.
Right.
Zero.
I literally couldn't win a hand. I went on a roll of probably 75 straight hands where I won 10% of them.
Oh, yeah.
You got rommed.
I mean, I couldn't win anything. I had 15, maybe 17 grand in front of me,
yeah.
and I left that table with nothing.
And you couldn't walk away.
And I told the dealer, I said, how do you win every single hand?
Did you feel like Joe Pesci in Casino when he's throwing the cards at the dealer?
Now, you were hammered, so were you bitter?
Oh, I was so bitter.
Yeah.
Oh, you have no idea
how
bitter
I was. Or did it numb the pain?
No, I was bitter.
That money was spent.
I was going to go cash out. Go to the front desk and pay off my bill right there
right.
with cash. Mm. Here, dude, how much is the bill? $10,000. Here you go.
Yeah.
$10,000.
Right.
I walked away with nothing.
Right. Lint.
I was. So, that's the most pissed I've ever been.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I can imagine.
At a blackjack table. Yeah.
Did you get a free meal at least?
They're not good with the comps there.
Atlantis is terrible with comps.
By the way,
unless you're betting like stupid money.
Just speaking of picks, I just want to get it in real quick. Somebody sent the Pipster saw Jason yesterday, the Bonefish, doing his podcast. Did you hear about this?
Mm. Well, and, I know there was a guy there taking pictures.
Yeah.
Yo, you did know that?
Yeah.
He was taking a picture of you
Stalkers.
In the corner. And
Stalkers.
Looks like, are you like holding your microphone or something?
Yeah.
Is it one of those snowball mics?
Yeah, blue ball, snowball, whatever it's called.
Yeah. It's just funny. Why are you doing it from the Bonefish again?
Because I was there to watch golf, and my buddies were coming up. On Thursdays, I go up to the Bone to watch golf.
So you knock out the podcast first.
I go there a little early at 3:45, knock it out, and then it morphs into a little golf.
Why don't you just do it at home and then go to the Bonefish?
Well, because then you just got to get in your car and drive. I'm already there. I might as well just.
And you're starting to drink early.
And maybe it's because they serve you drinks while you're doing it.
I had a couple during this podcast.
Maybe that's what it is.
It makes it faster.
So you get the service.
Well, I'm getting the service either way.
Yeah, but
I mean, if I'm home,
early.
I'm going to make a cocktail too.
when you do your podcast?
Of course.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the routine.
But
it's funny.
The reason I hold that microphone is because I have to hold it right up to my mouth.
Yeah.
I can't just set it on the table because the audio isn't as good.
Right.
So I got to hold that.
Well, there's a lot
thing.
Of the ambient sound in the restaurant. You're in a restaurant. You know.
No, but I got to do it at home.
Can
too.
You get the silly headset?
It's like a live broadcast.
But aren't you in the restaurant before it's open?
Yeah, I get there at 3:45.
There's not that much nice. Ambient noise.
Well, no, but they put the music on. The
that's nice. You have the whole, you basically have the whole place to yourself. That's nice.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
Not in the kitchen.
But yesterday was a little bit of a debacle because we instituted a phone number so people could call in to the podcast.
Right.
Didn't work.
Well, that's a complicated
I mean, it just
thing.
Didn't work.
Did someone like buy like a Skype number?
By the way, the podcast will be up at 10 a.m. today.
Yes.
Brand new episode.
I'm sure you're going to ask me to tweet out the fact that the episode is coming up.
Tweet it, tweet it. All three of you tweet it. But it wasn't the greatest show because there was too many technical difficulties.
Way to sell it.
So I'm just being honest. It wasn't as good.
Big effing winners.
Yeah, big enough. Big effing winners.
So yesterday, not a great gambling day, but I am getting back on the horse. I'm going back to MGM today for the $500 lucky table promotion.
I wondered why you had your backpack.
I have to get back on the horse, EB.
He had his poker backpack. I was like, what? He's going back 2 days.
It's not as heavy as it was yesterday. There's not as many chips in there.
I did think of you the other day when I was at the Terps game and the 50-50 raffle walked by me twice.
50-50s. I love them. Any place I can do a 50-50 raffle, I will do one.
He's a sucker for 50-50, lucky table, bad beat, yes. Jackpot.
Any sort of promotion, I'm all in. Mm. Just hook me.
Yeah.
Hook me with something.
I don't know.
I'll be staring at that TV at like 11:15.
You play Keno? Do you get into that?
Keno's bottom of the barrel. Even I don't play Keno.
That's worse than 50-50?
Valdez probably does Keno. Can't wait to fill out my card.
I grew up playing Keno with my parents.
I won't do Keno.
No,
that's beneath me.
What about the one where they have like the horse race? Or
no, that's silly too. Keno, right? Yeah. Do that.
It's like a Keno knockoff thing or something.
I can't be involved with such things.
Yeah, that one looks somewhat compelling to me. Some sort of digital fake race.
Yeah, you bet exacta boxes.
Yes. All right, coming up next, we'll open up the Junkies sports page. The Wizards had a big win last night. The Caps lost a tough one. We'll get into that next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 7:45 this morning, we'll give you a chance to win the Caps Maple Leafs tickets for the NHL Stadium Series game. That's coming up March 3rd. Drab just told me 8:45. I thought we had a guest at 8:45. That's why I just bumped it looking at the outline. But okay, 8:45, because we've been doing that all week. 8:45.
Yes.
All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page now.
Valdez must have been reading my mind. Is this Len?
It is Len, yes.
We were just talking about Alex Len during the break.
It's true. We were.
Isn't that funny?
That's funny.
Cakes just showed me an article on Yahoo.com, which I try to avoid because it's a nightmare, but it's another story.
Yeah, what's the report?
What's the name of the article, Cakes?
Exclusive federal documents detail sweeping potential NCAA violations involving high-profile players' schools. The authors are, is it Pat Forty or Ford?
Mm-hmm, Pat Forty. I think.
I think it's 40. Isn't it pronounced 40?
It's F-O-R-D-E.
Yes, it's 40-R-dashes.
Yeah. And Pete Thamel.
All right.
Thamel. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, apparently it's pointing out
Go through some of the names. I mean, one of them's Diamond Stone.
For, you know, under the subheading, loans to players,
right.
Among the largest listed loans while players are still in school, Dennis Smith apparently received $43,500 while he was at NC State. Isaiah Whitehead received $26,000 while he was at Seton Hall when he was a freshman. And Diamond Stone, according to this report, at the time a freshman at Maryland, received $14,303.
So hold on, they're calling these loans? Was that their way of thinking they were skirting around the rules? By giving them so-called loans?
I guess.
Could get ugly.
Markel Fultz also listed in the report that he got a $10,000 loan while he was at Washington.
Right.
Man, could get ugly.
That is not good for a lot of high-profile schools.
What's the title of the article? I can't find the damn thing. You know, they organize them differently for each computer. JP pointed it out for me. I didn't realize that.
It'll show you your habits.
Is this it? Federal documents detail sweeping potential NCAA violations?
It.
That's it?
Yep, correct.
You know what? You should tweet that. Why don't you tweet that at Money Metal Cakes so people can read that?
I don't do that many sports tweets.
I'll tweet it.
We're going to have to talk to Feinstein about that particular report.
I'll tweet
report.
It because this
I
is
just don't. I really don't.
You tweet important things like pictures of food.
Yeah, and my sloppy stack at MGM National Harbor. Things I actually care about.
Only because you brought it up. That's the only reason why I say. But that's fine. I'll tweet it.
All right, what's the lead on the sports page? Is that the lead?
No, the lead is...
Well, that's going to be a lead. When all this stuff becomes official, and they're like, oh, yeah, Maryland was paying players, that Washington was paying players, NC State was paying players, everybody was paying players, that's going to be a lead story for weeks.
Yes, it will. And by the way, more names will come out. I've heard stories. I'm not going to say anything, but I've heard stories about stuff over there. Anyway.
And by the way, I don't think it was schools paying players. I think it was agents paying players while they were in school.
Yeah.
So is what the report details.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? That still counts.
Oh, it's definitely a no-no.
Marcus Camby wasn't getting paid by UMass. He was getting paid by an agent.
Right.
Right.
Dicey. Can we lead off with Tiger?
You're the editor of your sports
page. Thank you very much.
I think you should.
PJ Nashville was not easy yesterday. It was a ton of water. It's windy. Historically, in the last 10 years, that's been a very difficult course for these guys. Only 20 guys under par yesterday out of 144, full field of 144. Tiger was even par. He only had one real bad hole. That was the double that he had where he found the fairway bunker and then he found the greenside bunker and it took him a couple chips to get out. Missed a 2-foot putt. But for the most part, he's got to be happy. He's T21, even par, right there in the mix.
People said by far it was his best ball striking round in this comeback.
Yep.
And he was able to move the ball left and right.
Hit 7 or 8 fairways, hit 10 greens.
27 putts.
27 putts, so he putted well.
He's four back. He's tied for 21st. I mean, he's right there. You know, but the thing is, he's got to be able to put back-to-back rounds together. He thinks he's getting closer, and... I it's hard to argue with him.
Here's the problem. Pummeling that 2-iron.
Hmm? Yeah.
He was pummeling that 2-iron.
Definitely
off the
helps
tee.
Him. He would have hit a few. I mean, he just missed some fairways just by a little bit. Some greens just by a little bit.
Yeah. That's a tough-ass course. Well, here's the problem with playing there in the afternoon. The wind starts to pick up in the afternoon.
Starts howling.
So he teed off yesterday at 7:45. He's going to play today at 12:30. The wind will be more of a factor today.
Was the wind, because I saw that it was pretty windy in the morning. Was it windier in the afternoon?
I don't know if it was windier. I just know that the wind was a factor.
He was having some distance control problems with that wind in the morning. Yeah. It was gusting pretty hard.
Just to put it in perspective for people that just want to trash Tiger and he sucks and everything. And I mean, he finished better than Ricky first round. You know, Ricky's been playing great for years now.
Ricky's defending champion.
Yeah, Sergio finished a couple shots worse, shot 72. Ollie Schneider-Jans, who's been a good player the last couple of years, finished better than him. Patrick Reed, you know.
But you say this every – it's not like Tiger's going to finish dead last in every tournament.
No, but the guy hadn't played in years, really, competitively. And he goes out there and somehow, you know, he beats the best players in the world with, you know, he doesn't have his full game. He doesn't have his full arsenal. He doesn't have full control of his game.
For a round.
Yeah.
But he's got
and
to do
he hasn't been
tournament.
Able to do it for four rounds. There's no question. But I think eventually he's going to get there. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, he may miss the cut this week. That's not going to change my opinion. He's going to get there. It's just, you know, he's knocking a ton of rust off.
I don't think he's going to miss the cut this week because the cut line's probably going to be at 4 or 5 over unless he completely poops the bed
today.
Well,
he could shoot 74, 75. Definitely could.
He could.
Definitely could. I'm not going to rule it out.
It would take a monumental collapse for him to do that.
He should have optimal weather conditions.
I mean, he did it last week.
It's going to be 80. And
I think he'll be okay.
The wind's going to be like 15 miles per hour.
I'm bitter. I was going to put that prop bet into that he makes the cut, but I just did some individual tournament matchups.
Yeah.
But Alex Noren, Webb Simpson are both 4-under, and then a bunch of guys, including Justin Thomas and Danny Berger, at 3-under. All right, so we talked about the Wiz. They win another big game last night in Cleveland.
A national TV game, might I add, on TNT last night.
Yes, it was a national TNT game. JP probably got to bed at about 12:45.
12:30,
I would guess.
But they win again. They beat Cleveland in Cleveland 110-103. Another big win for the boys.
I'm impressed.
They are now, are they 8-2 without Wall now?
8-2 without Wall. Lost to the Celtics, could have been 9-1. They blew that game.
I did like when Kelly Oubre hit a three late in the game and then blew a kiss. I think to Tristan Thompson sitting on the Cavs bench.
There are also accusations that he untied Rodney Hood's shoes during the game.
I think I saw they put it on the Jumbotron.
And he also wore gold grills after the game.
Oh, he did?
He had the grills in his mouth. I didn't know guys were still doing it, but Kelly Oubre's doing it.
Mm. So they win. So they are a half game back of Cleveland in the standings. They're at fourth.
The thing that jumped out at me about that game, and we talked about it earlier, 29 assists. So they continue to move the ball better than they were doing without Wall. I don't think they're a better team without Wall, but the whole everybody eats thing, and Bradley Beal repeated it. They're getting contributions.
45 points off the bench. And this isn't the first time this year.
45 and 18, yep.
They've had games where they've had 50 points off the bench. Their bench is so much better than it was last year, and they've added Ramon Sessions. He'll be
That's
back.
That's right. I've always liked Ramon Sessions when he's played for the Wiz.
Was he there? Was that 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
I think it was two.
I can't remember.
It
was just like a couple years
Maybe
ago.
Maybe 2 years ago.
It wasn't that far away.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to get heavy minutes because Satoransky's playing so well.
He's a depth guy.
So they're going to play Charlotte tonight. So let's see if they can continue the hot streak. Charlotte is 25-33. They're about five games out of the last playoff spot, so they're not going to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
I believe Charlotte's 2-0 against them, though.
Correct. So let's see if they continue that. Other scores from last night, a couple of notes here. We talked about Chicago. Our sweat bet still in play. They lost to Philly 116-115. They had a five-point lead with a minute to play, a three-point lead with 10 seconds to play, and blew the game.
I saw the Valentine inbounds was terrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
Basically threw it to Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and then he fouled at Simmons.
And if you're keeping track at home, it's 21.5 is the number. They got 20 wins.
Correct. Golden State beat the Clippers.
They can afford one more.
134-127. Curry had 44 in the game, 8 threes. And the Thunder beat Sacktown 110-107. Another triple-double for Russell Westbrook. He hit a buzzer-beater 3 to win the game.
He has more buzzer-beaters than anybody the last couple of seasons.
I think that's 18 trip-dubs for Westbrook. Cakes, you're not as bitter today, even after you lost the 677 or the 577 yesterday. You're not as bitter as Martin Linglesby. You know who Martin Linglesby is?
I don't know who Martin Linglesby is.
Martin Inglesby.
Inglesby.
Martin Inglesby played at Notre Dame.
Okay.
He was assistant coach under Mike Bray at Notre Dame.
All right.
And now he's the head basketball coach at Delaware.
Oh, I saw that box score when I was looking at my loser.
Delaware.
Was it a 35-point lead?
Delaware's playing at Drexel last night. Delaware's the worst team in the Colonial. They're bad. All right, but they had a 53-19 lead with 2 minutes to play in the first half. Boat Race City. Lost the game. It's the biggest comeback in D1 history in college hoops. Drexel comes back and beats Stellar.
When I looked at the score, it was like 34-8. I was like, well, that's a big fat loser. Came back and won.
It's unbelievable. All right, so the Caps did lose to Florida last night, 3-2. Didn't watch any of this game. I know that Florida, didn't they score 2 in the third?
They scored with 20 seconds left on a power play to win the game.
To win, yeah.
But pregame was emotional, right, Cakes?
Oh,
I think we have the audio of Longo.
Gut-wrenching emotional because the game took place in Sunrise, Florida, which I believe is 13 miles away from the mass shooting at the high school. And, you know, it was a 20 or 25-minute long pregame where they, obviously put a spotlight on the victims.
Yep.
And they had...
some of the survivors were there.
Survivors were there. A kid came out and sang America the Beautiful on the ice. And it was just... It was very stirring, very emotional. I was crying. My daughter was crying. I think my wife's borderline crying before the game started. I mean, it was an emotional evening, without a doubt.
I just want to start off by saying that I live in Parkland. I've been living there for the last 12 years. My wife was born and raised in that area. My kids go to school in Parkland. When I'm done playing hockey, I want to spend the rest of my life in Parkland. I love that city. Last week, it was Valentine's Day. I was in Vancouver, and obviously, we all know what happened, and it was hard for me to be on the West Coast and not be able to get back home and protect my family, so no child should ever have to go through that. It's terrible. It's time for us as a community to take action. It's enough. Enough is enough. We got to take action.
Reports came out yesterday that there was a deputy outside the school who was assigned to the school, and he did not go in for 4 minutes. I think he's since retired.
Well, yeah, he resigned. Yeah.
He resigned. Yeah. I mean, you got to go. You got to go in there. That's your job.
Yep.
Got to go.
I was thinking about it,
shooter.
Though, and not to defend him because he didn't do anything, but Cakes and I went to a very big school.
Yeah.
Over 2,500 students at Eleanor Roosevelt. If there was a mass shooting going on and you're just one deputy, and I mean, I don't know that you could find it in, there'd be so much chaos.
You got to at least try.
I agree. You have to try.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you would make a difference because you'd run in and
you may not.
Well, you have to attempt
you might
to
be
make
outgunned.
It. Right.
You can't. You might be
outgunned. Also, the kid was on the third floor. You probably wouldn't know what floor it's going on.
But it's kind of why you're there.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they gave you the weapon.
You got to make an attempt.
You got to go
say,
in there
yeah.
and try. It sucks. And if you don't want to do it, don't do that job. That job's only for those, that's only for the ballsy dude.
And he's going to live with that. He's got to live with that.
I would think so. I think.
All right, I'm
going to
end the sports page on a positive note.
I couldn't do it.
All right, Olympics. I'm out on the Olympics now. There's nothing really I'm interested in watching.
Is it over?
So you're gonna have a positive feel good story.
I mean, there's not much else to go on.
No more hot chicks that are doing anything.
I'm sure they are, but
you're out on the Olympics. I applaud.
Finally, I'm pretty much out. I mean, I didn't watch anything.
Like
yesterday.
2 days left. When's closing ceremony? Sunday.
Sunday. There's a couple days left.
Yeah.
But it's all about Honda Classic now. Yeah. So. You know I hate betting on sports.
Yes, but you still do it.
Here's
it's a sickness.
I'm a sicko. Yeah. Here's a great trend for people. I just want to throw it out there. Okay. It's a hockey bet, and I've been doing it probably since I heard about it about 3 weeks ago. When the Islanders play.
Yes.
All right, follow me here. When the Islanders play, you can bet on team total goals. So you can bet on, let's say the Caps are playing the Islanders. Mm-hmm. They might set the team total for the Caps at 2.5 or 3 goals.
Okay.
All right. When the Islanders play, the opponent... Okay, in the last 24 games. So in 2018, they played 24 games.
That's a good sample size.
Since January 2nd.
Yep.
I know you follow me. Bet the opponents over team total goals.
Okay.
Okay, because...
So you're saying the Islanders' defense sucks.
Because in 24 games, the opponent has scored over 2.5 goals 20 times.
20 out of 24 is...
So when the Islanders play whoever, yep. last night they played Toronto, I bet Toronto Maple Leafs over 2.5 goals... Big fatty.
Fat one.
Bet over team total on the opponent when the Islanders play. Their defense is poolicious.
I have to reload my account.
It's the best hockey trend going right now.
Did you get that from Hockey Boy?
No, I heard it on a radio a few weeks ago.
you pulled the case.
You're into the puck
heard
now.
It's out. I like it.
I've been betting on hockey, but there's... No, it's not a guy. I just heard it on the radio.
I have a guy. It wasn't that great last year, but I could go back to the well. I've got a guy.
All right. Well, I'm telling you, if you want to play some wagers, when the
so
Islanders
bet
play,
over bet the Islanders' opponent.
Over
it's actually Zabe's guy, but I've got a guy.
Oh, yeah. All is right. that the same guy we dealt with last
yeah,
year?
He might be a guy. All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines? Coming up next, we talk movies with Kevin McCarthy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.